I am loving.
I am fabulous.
I am beautiful.
I am saved.
I am a victor.
I am faithful.
I am devout.
I am accepted.
I am a Christian. I am MCC.
And I am MCC.
I am MCC.
I am MCC.
And I am MCC.
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 Our reading is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 to 15, and also Acts, chapter 4, verses 32 to 35. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like a rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and the visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with the new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea, and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say.'" Now, the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. In these human words, God's word is heard. This is the last installment of our August sermon series titled Trapped. And for the month of September, our series will be on love. Queer love in the time of pandemic. There will be three longtime couples, all of which are already married, who will be sharing with us a snapshot of their story and journey as a couple, and hopefully give some wisdom and inspiration to all of us, especially among LGBTQI plus youth. So we have been talking about trapped, of being trapped, and the stories of imprisonment and slavery in the Bible, and how they relate to us during this ongoing isolation due to the COVID pandemic. Just a short recap, the first Sunday we talked about the story of the imprisonment of Paul and Silas, and how they show us that even in prison, there is always a way to minister, evangelize, and save lives. The second Sunday, we checked out the story of Daniel, the visionary Daniel who was thrown into the lion's den. I encourage everyone to be strong and hold on to hope no matter how difficult the situation is in terms of being trapped. I especially address the preaching to LGBTQI plus youth who are currently, at this very moment, trapped in homophobic households, and encourage them to hold on and be a survivor. The third Sunday, we looked at the story of Joseph, the patriarch Joseph in Genesis, on how he was falsely accused and sent into prison. In that terrible and hopeless place, Joseph did everything he could to survive, eventually becoming an entrusted person in the prison system. In this story, I encourage everyone to stay active and productive in whatever way each person can in order to survive. And for the last Sunday, the previous Sunday, last week, I drew the connection and relation of the story of Exodus, which is the story of the slaves, relating it to our national situation of being enslaved and trapped in a country ruled by a tyrant and his taskmasters. I encourage everyone that during this pandemic and national tragedy, we must continue speaking up and telling our stories, the stories of others and the story of our nation. It is in storytelling that our faith is embedded and our hope rediscovered. So for this Sunday, we are looking at the Pentecost story of the first generation Christians. Pentecost story, a very common story among us. And in reading, we have heard that the followers of Jesus, together with Mary, his mother, and some of his siblings, remained in hiding in Jerusalem. Tradition tells us that they were in self-isolation for 50 days. Although we can also assume that 50 days may refer to a generic, a very generic, very long time period. So it does not always literally 50 days. It can be a generic term for a long time. They could have been in hiding for more than 50 days, maybe 3 months, 6 months, or even a whole year. The author of Luke and Acts, tells us that Jesus commanded his disciples to stay in Jerusalem until they received the Holy Spirit. However, Jesus did not say exactly when this Spirit will come and how. And so they stayed in Jerusalem and waited. At the same time, they gathered together in one place, and we can safely assume that they remained fearful, may takot, of the Jewish and Roman authorities. Perhaps they felt or thought that the authorities will do to them as they did to their teacher and leader, Jesus. So they remained isolated and trapped together. The doors remained locked and windows were closed. Siguro lumalabas lang ang isa o dalawa sa kanila kung talagang kinakailangan lang, tulad ng pamimili ng pagkain at iba pang importanteng pangangailangan. There was a real and present threat to them as individuals and as a group. Therefore, they remained inside and hidden until the day that Pentecost arrived. The day the Spirit arrived, which beforehand they did not know kailan nga ba darating at kailan o paano nga ba magaganap. Our focus on the story of Pentecost is not so much on them being trapped or in hiding, but our focus is on the day that they actually finally went out with courage, inspiration, and strength. Our focus is on what they started to do when they were already able to go out and be free. And the very first thing that they did was to proclaim and to speak out. sa pamamagitan ni Pedro at ni Juan. Sila ay matapang na nagsalita, nagkwento at nangusap sa taong bayan. Peter addressed the crowd and urged them to listen to what he had to say. Sa pamamagitan niyon, sila ay nagmulat ng mga isip at puso tungkol sa mabuting balita ng kaligtasan at paglaya. One of the miracles mentioned in the Pentecost story is that the disciples were able to speak in such a way that the people who spoke different languages heard and understood them in each native language of those listening. Beyond the miracle, perhaps what I can say is that the message of the disciples had universal resonance. The Jesus message of inclusion, redemption, justice, and love was recognized by every person who heard it, no matter what language they spoke, color of skin they had, or the gender that they had identified with. Men, women, children, young and old, slave and free, Gentile or Jew, heard and understood the message because it was what their hearts were longing and hoping for. God, through Jesus, accepts you, loves you, and calls you to love and accept others as well. This was the message. There is healing and freedom that comes from God through Jesus. This was the message. There is justice and a life shared with others that comes from God through Jesus. This was the message. And perhaps this remains to be the message even today. Hence, their community grew from many Jews and Gentiles who were mostly poor, marginalized, and oppressed, who joined them and became the first Christian communities. Sa pagdami ng kanilang mga nakumbinse at namulat, sila ay nagsimulang mag-organisa ng kanilang communities. They were growing exponentially as they continued to preach and proclaim. They needed to organize themselves as a group. And in the book of Acts chapter 2 and repeated in Acts chapter 4, yung nabasa natin, we hear the shared and common life of Christians. There was continued gathering, shared meals, prayers, sharing of resources so that no one is left needy. Teaching, training, and preaching also continued. It says that they continued to devote themselves in prayer and in the teachings of the apostles. This is how they organized themselves. It was also important to organize because only in this way, in organizing, that they are able to protect themselves from outside persecution, or at least minimize the impact of the persecution. After the Pentecost, the lives of the followers of Jesus were never the same way again. Hence, the question for us, 2,000 plus years after, as the continuing followers of the same Jesus of Nazareth, whom we follow as the Christ, the question is, shall we live and remain the same after this pandemic? After being trapped and imprisoned in this quarantine, after being terrorized not only by the pandemic but by our present-day authorities, shall we stay fearful and silent once this is over? When we are finally able to go out and travel safely, will things go back to what they were in our lives as individuals, as a community, and as a nation? Shall we not take seriously and act on the example of the first Pentecost and the church that was born from it? Yes, indeed, like the first Pentecost, there will be a lot of celebration and festivities once this global and national pandemic is finally over, with the distribution of an effective and safe vaccine. Now, kung kailan yung vaccine, we don't know exactly. But we have to make a crucial choice. Even now, even today, we have to make a crucial choice as individuals and as a nation. if we are just going to go back to the way things were before the pandemic, or are we going to radically change our lives and structures to reflect the same kind of shared life and common good of the early Christians? Are we going to go back to a time where most of us are complacent to corruption and unspeakable violence only because it does not affect us? Are we going to go back to that kind of complacency? Are we going to celebrate the end of the pandemic by going back to a condition, where a social condition, where our healthcare system remains broken and lacking? Are we going to go back to our old selves of selfish individualism and unhindered consumerism? Shall we return to a profit-oriented and individualistic spirituality that is actually counter to everything that Jesus was about? Will we go back to our churches and worship as if nothing has happened? Are we going to go back to being a Sunday-only follower of Christ? Shall we drop and leave behind the important lessons that this pandemic has shown all of us? What are we going to do after this pandemic, when finally we are able to go out once again and are able to do so much more? Of course, tatanungin si Pastor, ano nga ba ang magagawa ko bilang isang ordinaryong Pilipino at Kristiyano after nitong pandemic? Ano ba ang pwede kong magawa o maiambag sa nabubulok nating healthcare system at sa korupsyon, sa hindi lang sa PhilHealth kundi sa Pilipinas? Ano ba ang pwede kong gawin para pigilan ang patuloy na pagpatay sa mga human rights activists, peace advocates, sectoral leaders at mga environmentalists? Pandemic nga, hindi napigilan ang pagpatay. Ako pa kaya, isang ordinaryong mamamayan lamang? Ano ba kasi ang gusto mong ipagawa sa amin, Pastor? Now, the question being asked is not even by the pastor. The question is asked by the Spirit itself, by the Spirit and by the same Jesus Christ whom we serve. Siya ang nagtatanong. Siya ang may pinagagawa. Hindi ako. As the crucifixion of Jesus has shown us the violence and corruption of human institutions, so too this pandemic has exposed to us the incompetence, brokenness, violence, and corruption of our government institutions, especially with this present administration. Being exposed by this pandemic, most of us, especially young people, realize now the importance of consistent and continuing political engagement and protest. Like the early Christians who courageously proclaimed and preached, like modern-day Christians and saints who spoke for social justice and human rights, we are also called to continually proclaim and preach a message of freedom, social justice, and hope. Sometimes, the delivery of that message includes protests the way Jesus overturned tables and denounced authorities. Nasabi ko na nga sa iba, and nasabi ko rin in one of our Community Connect session, ngayon, alam nyo na bakit importante ang protesta. So ngayon, ramdam nyo na. Siguro naman, after ng pandemic, magkikita-kita tayo sa iba't ibang organized na mga protesta. Sana. I hope. Now, more than ever, after the pandemic, we are called by the Spirit to speak out and proclaim Christ in the stories and lessons of the pandemic. We are called by the Holy Spirit to proclaim the heroic and Christ-like sacrifices of the doctors and nurses we have lost in this pandemic. more than the rituals that will surely be done in honor of the frontliners, more than the rituals is the call to honor them by building and transforming and investing in a truly universal and patient-centered healthcare system. Sa pagtatapos ng pandemic, lalo tayong inuudyokan ng espiritu na magsalita at huwag matakot magpahayag tulad ng kung paano nagsalita at nagproklama si Pedro at si Juan sa unang Pentecost na iyon. Tulad nila, patuloy tayong magmulat ng iba sa mga lessons ng pandemic. Tulad nila, patuloy tayong magmulat ng nakararami tungkol sa pagsasaayos ng ating lipunan at gobyerno. Sa pagmumulat na ito, we also need to organize ourselves and our communities anew. Organize it towards the betterment of ourselves and our people. Organize people towards an ethic of shared life and common good. Hindi na pwede ang kanya-kanya. Part of this organizing is for the continuous political engagement and education of our people. Part of organizing and teaching is to encourage people, especially young people, to register or renew their voting status in preparation for the next elections. The suffering and death this pandemic has done and will continue to do in the coming months, this pandemic also brings us an important turning point in our human history and Philippine society. A turning point that can unleash an unprecedented movement for justice, compassion, and love. Or it can throw us back towards a previous path to our imminent destruction. The one and most important question each of us need to reflect on and determine right now is what am I going to do after this pandemic? Ano ba ang aking gagawin at maiaambag pag ako ay lumaya na sa pandemic na ito? How will I add my voice towards the call for a better Philippines? How will I participate and contribute in the work of organizing for a better economy and society? A better church? This is an important and crucial question that needs to be answered individually and collectively. This question is as spiritual as it is social and political. Our answer will determine our future and the future of the world. And so, may the Holy Spirit, who inspires you hope and comforts you, may also continue to disturb you with holy anger and holy courage for a shared and better world. Amen.